The next thing I want to talk a little bit about is NanoServer and application platform. So we're really pushing NanoServer as the installation option to use for born-in-the-cloud applications. So we have a subset of Win32. There's a tool available to scan your code to see if it will run on NanoServer. Core CLR is available, ASP.NET 5, PaaS. There's a tool available for Core CLR as well for managed code that you can scan. And NanoServer is available as an installation option everywhere. So you can install it on your physical machines, you can install it in a virtual machine as a guest, or you can use it with Windows Server containers or Hyper-V containers. So really between NanoServer, containers, DSC, PowerShell, and some of the other core functionality coming in Windows Server 2016, we're resetting the server platform for the next 25 years. On NanoServer. This is the future. This is the developer target going forward.
Learn all that stuff or be left behind.
Over time, you're going to see us, and you're starting to see this with Technical Preview 4, is the roles and features that make sense for the data center going forward, we're going to migrate those off of Server Core and make them available on NanoServer. So like DNS Server is the first one of those. You know, DHCP, Active Directory, all those things are on the roadmap. Those will all become available on NanoServer over time. And so that's really what we want people deploying, because you can deploy just the pieces you need. Again, can't stress enough the just enough OS. Don't deploy the pieces you don't need in your data center functionality that's not being used on your server. Some future additions, I think I just talked about this. Desired state configuration is there in Technical Preview 4. Package management, or 1Git, is available in Technical Preview 4 as well. That allows you to, that's actually used for the container base packages, that allows you to go pull down stuff out of repositories on the internet and install it on your systems, kind of like apt-get or yum on Linux. And then, like I mentioned, we're adding additional roles, and with the reverse forwarders that I'm going to talk about in a minute, you'll see how we've got a lot of the open source app frameworks running on NanoServer as well. So really, NanoServer is a deep refactoring of the Windows Server stack. On top of that, we have Server Core for compatibility. On top of that, we have the desktop experience. Top of those, you can have your local admin tools or remote desktop if you need those locally. So really the way to view it is the desktop or client. It's really for RDS or when you need, say, a jump box or some other reason to have the full GUI on a server. Like I said, developers will target NanoServer, and you can deploy to physical, virtual, or containers. Now, for those of you interested in containers, this slide in this box here is actually very important. So I've mentioned that NanoServer can be physical, virtual, or container option. Server Core can be physical, virtual, or container as well. You'll notice that box does not go around the client stack or the desktop. Full server with a desktop cannot run server with the GUI or server with a desktop in a container. The only two options there are NanoServer or Server Core. So again, that's really where the push for modern cloud-based apps, things that really can take advantage of containers, need to target NanoServer. So one of the things we also learned from Server Core was that we didn't have a great developer experience. We made it too hard for people to target NanoServer. Basically, it was a page on MSDN that lists all the APIs that were available in NanoServer. That lists all the APIs available with Server Core. With NanoServer, we do have that list available, but we've also done a lot to integrate in the Windows SDK. And in Visual Studio, there's a template you can download that allows you to target NanoServer as your developer target. So we made it much easier to code to NanoServer. That template gives you the rich design time experience with error squiggles if you're using an unsupported API. You get IntelliSense for APIs that are supported. And I mentioned there are tools available that allow you to scan your code, both managed and unmanaged, to see if it will work within the NanoServer environment. We didn't have any of that with Server Core, so it made it difficult for people to actually target Server Core and make their apps run on top of it. We've learned our lesson from that and have taken a very different approach with NanoServer.
Yeah, and that's also looking at DevOps too right now, because
yes.
our dev teams, our developer evangelists in DX are challenged with getting their applications in the containers in NanoServer. So this template design, I think, is going to be really popular.
Yes, that and the ability to scan your code and see what APIs you're using. Mm-hmm. And in both those tools, I'll actually give you suggestions on replacements if there's something equivalent that does exist. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I'll get into that more in reverse forwarders, which I think comes up next. Yes. So reverse forwarders is another optional package that you may have noticed a few slides back was in the list of cap files. And this is a way to allow existing apps to run without having to recompile for Nano Server. And what this means is Windows Server has developed over the years, collection of DLLs, different developers creating different functionality from different groups. Well, there are multiple APIs that let you do some very common things. So, for instance, accessing the registry or accessing, you know, files or folders on disk. You know, there are APIs very low level to let you do that, as well as APIs that are exposed by shell DLLs and things. And so obviously we've removed all those shell DLLs, but the functionality that those APIs ultimately calls into is available on Nano Server. So what a reverse forwarder does is allows you to try your apps that don't have a GUI that work on Server Core. You can install the reverse forwarder package and try and run those. And if there's a matching API, we've got shims of a lot of those DLLs in the reverse forwarder package. And so if you're linked to, say, shell 32 to access the file system, that API call will actually get forwarded down to the existing API in Nano Server. So you don't have to recompile. Just because we don't have the higher level version of the API available, we will shim that and call down to the lower level one. And so this sort of goes back to the whether you have to recompile or relink your app or not. Well, you may not have to if you're only calling things that exist today. And so what you can do is make those changes the next time, your next version update. And so we've been working with a lot of the OEMs on their tools and things, and a lot of the lower level driver tools just work with reverse forwarders. A lot of the open source app frameworks just work with reverse forwarders, as you can see from the slide there. So Node.js, Python, Ruby, Java, MySQL, Chef, PHP, all those things run on top of Nano Server today with the reverse forwarder package. So they're all using low-level APIs. They just need those shims because they may be using higher-level versions of them. So we shim them and let you keep running, and so the next time they come out with an update, they can relink to where the true APIs now live. So this is sort of an app-compat kind of layer for existing code.
Good stuff.
Yep. And then on the container side, I've mentioned a little of this. Nano servers optimized for containers. Again, the just enough OS lets you run a lean operating system that's going to start up very fast on a physical machine, as well as very even faster in a container for your born in the cloud applications. And then Server Core is available in containers as well to provide the compatibility you may need for some existing apps. So this slide is just sort of an overview of what a container is. Traditional virtual machines provide hardware virtualization. So there's a lot of duplication because you have a hardware layer underneath and then you have a copy of the OS, so it looks like you're running a full operating system in each virtual machine. Whereas containers give you operating system virtualization. So basically you have a shared kernel across them, and so you're virtualizing at the kernel layer rather than the hardware layer. So you don't have the duplication across all those containers that you have across all the virtual machines. So they're much lighter weight, faster startup, and generally viewed as for things that are shorter lived or don't need to be maintained or managed, more the pet model than the cattle model. So this all sounds very interesting, I'm sure, but where have we gotten to? So the next few slides talk about some of the initial results we have with Nano Server. So based on all the patches released in 2014, you can see from the slide here, we eliminated a lot of the both important and critical bulletins that would have applied, as well as minimized the number of reboots you would have had to take throughout the year. So we're really focused on trying to minimize the number of reboots. And when you do have to reboot, as we'll see in a couple slides, we are much smaller, so you will reboot your systems much faster. So on the security improvement side, see, we've minimize the number of drivers loaded. And again, this goes back to the security slide earlier, is fewer ways for the system to be hacked by somebody. There's fewer drivers loaded, there's many fewer services running, and a lot fewer ports open. So there's less ways for somebody to try and get into the system. On the resource utilization side, we have fewer processes. Boot IO, as you can see, 100 megabytes versus 306, so a lot, a nice reduction there. And then kernel memory in use, 61 megabytes versus 139. And so on the deployment side, setup time is 40 seconds compared to almost to 5 minutes. That's because we've eliminated a lot of things. It's a much smaller footprint on disk, and we've also taken a bunch of settings and moved them to an offline section of the N10 file. So you can actually set the computer name on first boot. Whereas with a server core install or a server install, that happens during the specialization. So we'll boot up, process the N10, set the computer name, and then make you reboot again. So we've also eliminated a whole reboot in there. And to the boot IO and the small size, we actually have an old tower machine with just a spinning disk in it that we can boot NanoServer in 15 seconds. We can boot, we've seen Gen 2 VMs boot in under 5 seconds. So much smaller, much faster. And that's all because our disk footprint's about 400 megabytes compared to 5.5 gigabytes for server core. And then VHDs add a little bit of overhead. You can see that adds a whopping 10 megabytes to your server core install, but almost a gigabyte to you. 10 megabytes to your nano server install, but almost a gigabyte to your server core install. So you can see we've really removed a lot of things from the system. And with the just enough OS model, Hyper-V runs directly on that 400 megabyte image. If we have a role in the future that brings in, 500 megabytes worth of dependencies, that will not end up in the base. You won't get that on a nano server with Hyper-V. You'll only have that when you're running that one role. So you'll get to deploy your servers with just the binaries they need to actually provide the functionality you need in your environment.